Amen. Genesis chapter number 32, if you have your Bibles today, Genesis chapter number 32. And if when you get there, if you'd stand out of respect for God's Word, if you're able, while you're turning there. You know, I was thinking about the words that we didn't sing it, but the third verse says, "From His throne Jesus came, laid aside heaven's fame, in exchange for the cross of Calvary. For my gain suffered loss, and for my sin He bore the cross." You know, a lot of times we try to add things to salvation, or we try to do things, but it's only through Jesus that we have salvation. And if you've not been saved, it's not by your works that you get there. It's only through Jesus. Because if Calvary wasn't a necessity, or if Calvary wasn't a necessity, then it was an atrocity. Jesus, the perfect heaven, the Heavenly Father's Son, gave His life for you. And if it wasn't a necessity, then it was an atrocity. Genesis chapter number 32. Are you there this morning? We're going to begin reading in verse number 24. It says there, Genesis 32, verse 24, it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." We'll pray, have the special, and then the preaching. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. I thank You for this day You've given us, Lord. I thank You for this opportunity that You've given us to be here in church, Lord. I pray for Pastor, Lord, as he gets ready to preach. I pray that You fill him and empower him with your words, Lord, hiding behind the cross, Lord. Dear God, I pray for the special, Lord. I pray You'd be with it. I pray You'd use it, God. And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here today who doesn't know for sure heaven is their home, who's never got that settled, Lord, that You wouldn't let them leave that way today, but You let them get it taken care of. Lord, I love You. And I thank You for all that You've done. I thank You for all that You're going to do. Lord, I love You. In Your heavenly name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Instrumentals and the offertory and the special, thank You for that. And when He comes back to this earth, man, the joy that we ought to have, amen? I believe we will have, and what a time to look forward to. Be in prayer for Pauline, if you would. We've been praying for her, and she's been in our prayer bulletin for a while now. Steve Johnson's mother, and they called the family in, and he went early this morning to go see her, and it's just a matter of time, I believe. And so pray for Pauline and the Johnson family, if you would, this morning. Keep them in prayer. Pray for Jeff. He's leaving Saturday, traveling over to the Philippines, and he'll be married, and look forward to having him back. And pray for their safety, though, and all to go well there. And look, what a happy day for them. Happy day, marriage, amen. I didn't get as many amens as I thought I would. Some of you just kind of looked at me like, oh boy. Amen, amen. Next Sunday, how many are traveling over Christmas? Anybody traveling over Christmas? A few of you all traveling. We're traveling. We're going up to the in-laws. Speaking of marriage, we're going up to the in-laws for Christmas. And I love them. They're wonderful people. Lord, I'm sorry. I do love them, but the wonderful people part I need to ask forgiveness for. No, I'm just kidding this morning. We'll have a good time up there, and we'll leave Friday, get back that following Thursday. Pastor Avery will be preaching next Sunday. You'll enjoy him, good preacher, and you'll enjoy his preaching next week. I trust the Lord will use it to speak to hearts. And society today desires a comfortable job, amen? How many don't want a comfortable job? None of us here. They desire the comfortable office job at the high pay with a little bit of work. I heard about the young engineer fresh out of Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He was having an interview, and at the end of the interview with Human Resources, they asked him, they said, what starting salary are you looking for? The engineer replies, in the region of around $125,000 a year, depending on the benefits package. The interviewer inquires, well, what would you say to a package of 5 weeks vacation, 14 paid holidays, full medical and dental, a company matching retirement fund for 50% of the salary, and a company car at least every 2 years, let's say a red Corvette? And the engineer sits straight up in his seat. He says, wow, are you kidding? The interviewer replies, yes, but you started it. Regardless of how it might seem sometimes, the job with the most benefits does include the most work. I know sometimes it seems like, well, that guy does nothing. He's in that position where he does nothing, gets paid high. Whether it be mental work or physical work, the job most of the time that requires the most labor is going to be the one with the most benefits. And can I say, the spiritual realm is no different in our lives. The spiritual realm is no different. The Christian that receives the most is the Christian that labors the most. I heard somebody once say, a college professor back in school, that you get out of it what you put into it. And the Christian life is very much the same way. You get out of the Christian life what you put into it. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 gives us a principle. We could call it a law of nature, but really it's a principle of God. You reap what you sow. The farmer that plants, when he plants corn, guess what he's going to reap come harvest time? Corn. You reap what you sow. And as a Christian, we reap what we sow. What we invest, how we labor, is going to decide what we reap from that. Now, the wise Christian will labor in the area that it's going to reap the most benefit. Amen? That's just wise to do. A wise man, he might start off flipping burgers at McDonald's, but can I say he's not going to stay there if he's wise? Because he wants to invest in an area that's going to bring the most results. I hope the career path of the young person isn't to make a career out of flipping a burger, because it's not going to feed a family eventually. I know they're trying to make it feed a family, but it's never going to work. You want to labor where it's going to be beneficial. You want to labor where it's going to be beneficial. The area that the Christian will receive the most benefits for his labor, or receive the most from his labor, might be a surprise to some. We could probably ask this morning, where do you think a Christian, if he's going to labor, where would he get the most from his labors? Where would he receive most benefits? Because obviously, there's some areas that you receive more in those areas than other areas. Where does a Christian receive the most for his labor? Can I say this morning, it's not on the platform of a church. That's not where the most benefits are received from labor. It's not from behind a pulpit in front of a congregation. It's not from in front of a Sunday school class. It's not in middle of serving a soup line. No, all these areas are beneficial. All these areas do bring forth fruit. But can I say where we receive the most, the very most from our labor? Listen now this morning. Is the prayer closet. There is no area that you can receive more from than getting inside the prayer closet, going to God in prayer, and bringing those requests to God. Our most profitable labor in the Christian life is prayer. I absolutely believe that. And you look at the Bible, you'll find it to be true. John Bunyan said that you can do more than pray after you have prayed. But you cannot do more than pray until you have first prayed. There is nothing that we can do until we first pray that could bring any bit of result. E.M. Bounds, the great prayer warrior, said, nothing, and I repeat, nothing can be done without prayer. Think about that. Nothing can be done without prayer. How many times is that truly our attitude? The main fight for the Christian is this fight of prayer. The main fight of the Christian is fought in prayer. The modern Christian today is missing it. We think we're wrestling against flesh and blood. We think we can go out there and push as hard as we can push and try to make things work and push everything together. But can I say this morning, we got to realize it cannot be done apart from prayer. The reason I believe we're losing this thing of fighting the Christian fight, and we look at our country and we see the direction our country is going and the way religion is going, and you say, Pastor, why are we losing ground, it seems like? Well, I understand the end is coming near. Jesus Christ is returning. But can I say another reason? I believe we've missed this thing of prayer. We're no longer in the olden days where we had the prayer warriors. Now, yes, there's still all our prayer warriors, but we have passed on this thing of prayer because of the busyness of our lives. We look at our text this morning, we find a man wrestling with God in prayer. We're going to preach on the subject this morning, wrestling with God. wrestling with God. I believe God would have us to see the struggle that there is in prayer, but also have us to desire to wrestle with God in prayer. I believe God would have the Christian to wrestle with Him in this matter of prayer. We're going to pray and we'll preach on this matter this morning, wrestling with God. Lord, we come before You this morning, and Lord, as we stated earlier, we're a needy people. Lord, across this auditorium, there's people with needs this morning. Spiritual needs, financial needs, physical needs, mental needs. Lord, I'd ask You, please meet each and every need. Lord, particularly the spiritual in our lives. We need Jesus Christ. Lord, we need to grow as Christians. Our faith needs to be built. Lord, I'd ask that we'd see from the Bible this idea or this area of prayer this morning, and the necessity to wrestle with God, the desire that You have for us to struggle in prayer in our lives, that we might see answers to prayer in our lives. May You work as only You can. Please give me Your power, Your Spirit, Lord, Your wisdom and Your words to say. Please give each one of us tender hearts to receive what You have. Lord, we ask if there be one soul here that does not know Christ as their Savior. If today they were to die, if they were snatched today from this earth, they don't know if they go to heaven or to hell. May they settle that this morning, Lord, once and for all. We'll give You the praise and the glory for how You work. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. In our text, we find the great patriarch Jacob. Jacob's traveling back from the land that he had traveled to for his wife, back to his land of kindred, back to where Isaac had been, back to where Abraham went to the beginning, Canaan land. Jacob is warned that his brother Esau is fixing to meet him. He fears for his life. Esau, his brother, had been the one he deceived many years earlier. And as a result of that deceit, he was in fear that Esau was going to try to have vengeance upon Jacob and his family. And so Jacob is really struggling in this chapter about facing his brother Esau. And the night before Jacob is going to meet with Esau, we find here that Jacob separates from his family. He separates from everything. And he seeks God's protection. He goes to God in prayer. Verse 24, if you look at it this morning, it says, "And when Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." Jacob finds himself alone. He got away from his family, away from everybody. And as he's alone, this stranger comes by Jacob's way in the wee hours of the morning. Now, if you read this, it's interesting. Why? Because it's kind of odd for a stranger to just be walking through the wilderness, first of all. Second of all, it's odd for the stranger to be walking through the wilderness in the wee hours of the morning. I mean, we're talking probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning here, 4 in the morning. It's before daylight. On top of that, this man, the stranger, begins to wrestle with Jacob. I don't know, I've never been walking down the street and had some stranger walk by me and just begin to wrestle me. Maybe you've had different experience and you could testify this morning. So this is a unique experience. Would you agree? But the issue here is this was not an ordinary man. And it's not long before, as you read through this passage, that you get to understand that. This encounter was set up by God. Verse number 30, jump down there, look at what Jacob says about this experience with the stranger in the wee hours of the morning that began to wrestle with him. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." I have seen God face to face. Jacob's testimony after wrestling with this man was that I've seen God face to face. Upon Jacob's testimony, this wasn't just a man. Verse 28, we saw the result of struggling with the stranger. And he said, "Thy name should be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." No doubt, whoever he was struggling with had some severe power about him, some strong power about him. You see, the stranger that wrestled with Jacob was no doubt the Lord of the angels, was, as the Bible talks about, the angel of covenant, the Son of God as we know him in human flesh before Christ came to this earth. You see, as you read through the Old Testament, you see several times where the Son of God is manifest in the flesh before he came to this earth as a babe and shows up to mankind. You remember that story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children. And they're thrown into that fiery furnace. And the king says, "Well, I don't see three of men there. I see four men, and the fourth one has the image or appearance of the Son of God." Christ showed up. I believe he did in this instance with Jacob. From Jacob's description, we must conclude that he was wrestling with the Son of God. He was struggling with the Son of God. And Jacob continued to wrestle with God until he received a blessing. I don't know if you caught that this morning as we read that text. Verse 26, so look at it. They were struggling till daybreak. They were wrestling there. And the stranger asks, he says, let me go. And Jacob responds, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I'm not letting you go until I get what I'm asking for. He struggled and he says, I'm not letting go of you. The prophet Hosea talks about it in Hosea chapter 12, verse 4. He said, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made, get this, supplication unto him. Supplication, earnest prayer. You see, Jacob right there, not only did he labor physically, but Jacob was laboring in prayer. Can I say this morning, prayer is labor. If you truly understand what prayer is labor. Prayer is simple. Yes, anybody can pray, but prayer is not easy. Prayer is not complicated, but prayer is difficult. You say, Pastor, that doesn't make sense. Stay with me this morning. If prayer was easy, everybody would be doing it. Hey, Christian, if prayer was easy, all of our prayer lives, we would say it's exactly what I want it to be. But if we were to take a poll this morning and ask how many of your prayer lives are where you want it to be, I would dare say that a good percentage of us would say, I wish my prayer life was more. You know why? Because prayer is labor. Prayer is truly labor. Prayer is not easy. Prayer is a struggle. Prayer is a fight. Prayer is labor intense. The Bible speaks of a fervent prayer. That word fervent means heated. It's an intense thing. It's a struggling thing. It's a fight. It's work. It is work to pray. Hey, we believe this morning, I hope you believe, that prayer moves the mighty hand of God. We saw that from Scripture last week. We believe that prayer moves mountains. So let me ask us, how much time did we spend in prayer this last week? Because we believe it, but if it was really easy, I would imagine we would see mountains moving. Why so little prayer oftentimes? Because prayer is labor. The Bible speaks of Christ there in that Garden of Gethsemane. Before Christ would go to that cross and go through the torment that he would go through and have the nails in his hands and in his feet and that crown of thorns and experience that suffering and that sorrow, the Bible tells us there in that garden, he prayed. And as he prayed, the Bible describes his prayer of agony. The Bible says he sweated great drops of blood. That prayer was so intense. It was so fervent. It was so painful for Christ to pray. Talk about work and talk about labor. Christ was in labor when it comes to that matter of prayer. Jacob shows us this laboring or this wrestling with God in prayer. These are far from the average Christian's prayers today of good food, good eat, good God. All right, let's eat. And that's the average prayer of the Christian. It's a meal, time to say the blessing and let's move on. But can I say, God would not have it to be so. God would have us to wrestle as a Christian in this matter of prayer. It ought not be little time, little effort, little fervency. Because when it is little time, little effort, little fervency, it's very little power. God would have us to wrestle with Him. More specific, wrestling with God in prayer involves a specific request. There's several parts to prayer. Somebody once told me something that was a great help to my prayer life. They said, prayer is divided up into four categories. And you look through the Lord's Prayer and you'll find these categories there. He used an acrostic of ACTS, A-C-T-S. He says, adoration. Begin your prayer with adoration. He says, after you get done adoring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he says, move on to confession. And confess your faults to God. Make sure your trespasses and offenses of God are right so God can answer prayer. After that, thanksgiving. We all just spend a time thanking God. And then he says, bring your supplication before him. It's a good acrostic to remember in prayer. That supplication, that last one, what is supplication? Supplication is that petition. It's that earnest request. It's what you're asking God for in your prayer life. It's a need in our life that we desire to have met. It's a situation that we're going through that we desire for God to change in our life. It's intervention that we're pleading God to make in our life. And supplication is where that wrestling comes in. Supplication is where we that struggle where we're asking God and we're laboring with God saying, God, I need this. Well, we need you to work. Jacob was not just wrestling to wrestle. He was wrestling for a blessing. There was something that he desired from God. Remember the story of Hezekiah in the Bible. Hezekiah got news. Now I'm having a doubt there. Uzziah or Hezekiah? Help me out this morning, somebody. Hezekiah, I'm right. Hezekiah got news. You're going to die. All of a sudden, he says, God, I don't want to die. He makes an earnest request to God. There was a need there. There was something that he was wrestling for. You remember Daniel. Daniel and his friends were in doom. The king was going to kill everybody. He says, hold on a second, I could tell you a dream. Let me give the dream. And he says, hey, let's go pray. We got to pray over this, fellas. When they went to God in prayer, I guarantee you, it was an earnest request. It was a supplication. There was a need there. And they wrestled with God over that need. That church in Jerusalem wrestled with God over a need. It talks about how Peter was in prison. And Peter, the next day, was fixing to be executed. And they prayed and they prayed and prayed. They had a need that they were begging God for. There was something that they were wrestling with God about. Can I say this morning, every one of us have requests that we desire from God. If I were to ask today, and you don't need to say it aloud this morning, but if I were to ask today, what would be the first thing that you would say? If I were to ask, what is your need? What is your petition? What is at the top of your list this morning? What is nearest to your heart this morning that you would have God to answer this morning? You would have a need. Maybe it's a lost relative that you have, that you so desperately want them to come to Christ. Maybe it's a wayward son or daughter that you have, that you so desire for them to come home. Maybe it's a financial need. You don't know how it's going to be met. Maybe it's a health issue that's in the family. I don't know what each individual need is, but there's a need in every one of our lives. There's something that God would have us to wrestle about. There's something that God would have us to bring to Him in prayer and to struggle about in prayer. God desires for us to wrestle in prayer and have victory in these requests. The blessing that costs the most prayer will be worth the most. Let me say that one more time so it sinks in. The blessing that costs the most in prayer is worth the most. Somebody once said, that which is gained speedily by a single prayer is sometimes only a second-rate blessing. But that which is gained after many a desperate tugs and many an awful struggles is a full-weighted and precious blessing. There's a lot of truth to that statement. Oh, the blessings that are so valuable are the blessings many times that are brought down through many hours in prayer struggling with God. Much more can be done through prayer than can be done through physical work or through financial gain. Many times we run to these other sources trying to solve the problem. We run to people trying to solve the problem. But the Christian must wrestle with God to see that blessing. How many times we fail to pray because we run to these other methods, and we must understand God is the answer for this. Some blessings are only received through wrestling with God. And Jacob is an example. Some blessings in our life, some answers to prayer, are only going to be seen through wrestling with God, through a struggle, through the fight, through enduring, through persevering. If Jacob would not have wrestled with God, he would have missed a blessing that completely changed his life. He went from Jacob to Israel at this point in time in his life. If he would have not wrestled with God, he would not have seen that. Don't miss the blessings God has by neglecting to wrestle with Him. Don't miss the blessing, Christian, that God has for you. Don't miss the answers to prayer that God has by refusing to struggle with God. Now we find this morning, we find four certainties in wrestling with God. I hope we've gotten to understand wrestling with God, by that we mean in prayer. Four certainties that are there in this matter of wrestling with God. The Christian that looks to wrestle with God and receive from the hand of God, there's certain certainties that we could count on. Number one, it is certain. Get this morning. It is certain that a critical situation leads to wrestling with God. It is certain that a critical situation leads to wrestling with God. Hey, Christian, God brings crisis in our life many times to get us to our knees. Why? Because it is certain that the difficult times in life will bring us to our knees. God always uses a crisis to bring us to that wrestling mat. Because if it wasn't for that crisis, no doubt we would try to avoid the wrestling mat. We would avoid the labor. Nobody looks for struggle, amen? So if it was not for that crisis, we'd avoid it altogether. God says, no, I want you out on the wrestling mat, Christian. And so He brings the crisis into our life. Without a crisis in Jacob's life, Jacob would have likely passed up this struggle with God. Why was Jacob so willing to wrestle with God? Read the story in Genesis chapter 27 through chapter 32, and you'll find why he was willing. He had deceived his brother. He had deceived Esau. He had stolen the blessing. He ran off because Esau threatened to kill his brother. He says, man, when I get my hands on him, he's dead meat. Like so many times older brothers do, right? I've been in Jacob's shoes before. And he's coming back home now. He hears Esau's fixing to meet you. But not only is Esau fixing to meet him, 400 men with him. Can I tell you this morning, the 400 men weren't coming to throw a surprise celebration party for his homecoming. I guarantee you, Esau didn't have 400 men going over there to just welcome Jacob back home. He was facing no good news. He was in a crisis. He was in fear of his life, his family's life. Jacob was in a crisis and needed help from the hand of God. There's a boy. His mother was deathly sick. She had caught something. It's that time of year where you catch stuff. And she had caught something, very, very sick with fever, very high fever. And the boy calls up the pastor of the church down the road. And he calls the pastor and he says, Pastor, I want you to come pray for my mom. And the pastor said, oh, I'd be happy to come down there and pray for your mom. But he also knew that they had been attending another church. And he asked the boy, he said, well, you attend the so-and-so church. Why are you calling me and asking me to pray for your mother? Thinking, you know, real impressive. He says, well, I want to make sure that my pastor doesn't get what my mom has. Some of y'all will get that later. There is a need, though, when we have needs, that need causes us to realize I need prayer. I need some intervention. I can't do this alone. I need God to work in this situation. It is in the crisis in our life that brings us to our needs. It's a critical situation that brings that willingness to wrestle with God, that willingness to struggle, that willingness to say, I will labor. I'll go the extra effort in prayer because this need is so great. When all is well, yes, we might spend time with God in prayer. But when all is not well, we say, okay, it's time to wrestle. It's time to struggle. It's time to put forth some real labor and effort in this prayer because I need some answers. Hannah's barrenness caused her to wrestle with God. It wasn't just God bless this day. It was God, I have this need. I'm barren. I so desperately want a child. And she wrestled with God. It was Daniel's impending doom that caused the three Hebrew boys to fast and pray and to wrestle with God. There's a difference between asking God to bless the grub and asking God to intervene on a situation and wrestle with Him. As much as we might not like the crisis in our life, it is through the crisis that many times is what brings us to wrestle with Him in prayer. Can I say this morning, God desires for us to wrestle with Him. If He had not desired for Jacob to wrestle with Him, He would not have passed His way. But He passed that way for a reason, because He wanted Jacob to wrestle in prayer with Him. And God desires for us to wrestle with Him in prayer. God desires for us to meet with Him and to plead our case to Him. The truth is, in crisis, we probably do not pray as much as we should. We probably do not wrestle as much as we should with God. We turn to every other means looking for that solution that we want. We turn to the family member or the friends or ourselves. But it is certain that the critical situation will lead us to wrestle with God. Sometimes we ask, why, God? Sometimes the reason is because I want you to wrestle with me. Let me say, secondly, the certainty that we see. It is certain that committed separation allows for wrestling with God. It is certain that committed separation, catch that, allows for wrestling with God. This is an area that we lack today because we're so busy. One of the greatest struggles that we have today in this matter of prayer is time. I don't have time. Time, the ability to get alone, the struggle to get away from everything in life. It takes commitment to pull apart from it all, to get away from everything and to get alone with God. Verse 22, look at it. It says, and Jacob rose up that night, took his two wives, his two woman servants, his 11 sons, passed over the brook Jabbok, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over all that he had, and Jacob was left alone. Did you catch that? He was by himself. Jacob removed himself from everything else going on. He removed himself from his family. He removed himself from his property. All that was going on, all the hecticness, and he got alone with God. There's a key in this, Christian, when this matter of wrestling with God comes into play. It is necessary, it is absolutely necessary that we separate ourselves from everything else going on if we're going to wrestle with God in our life. There's so many distractions that we have. Our prayer life many times are hindered by all these distractions. I got to separate myself. I got to get away from my phone. Hey, Christian, if you want to wrestle with God, you can't have the phone attached and answering it every time it rings. When I go to God to wrestle with God in prayer, I can't be distracted by a text message. I can't be distracted by a phone call. I can't be distracted. Well, God, hold on, let me check my email real quick. A lot of times, what's interrupting our prayer life while we can't pray is we're too connected that we become disconnected with God. We're connected to everything today's day and time. I'm not going to preach against using your iPad for devotions, but can I say, there's something to it when you're in communication with God and you're studying and you're praying, all of a sudden the notification pops up, oh, let me check my email, what is that? You just got distracted. God's trying to work in your heart and speak to you. Can I encourage us this morning? Get away from all that. Get away from the distraction. Get that old King James Bible out, get into the book and let God speak to your heart. Get that old prayer list out and start praying through that prayer list. Technology is a wonderful thing, but sometimes technology ruins that communication and that fellowship with God, especially in this matter of wrestling. I got to get away from people. If I'm going to wrestle with God, I got to get away from people. It might require waking up a little bit early before the family wakes up. It might require going to bed a little bit later than the rest of the family goes to bed. Because I have a need. God, I have a crisis. I need you to work in the situation. And in order to wrestle, I got to get alone. I have to get alone. Now, we could pray to God anytime, any place, and God hears. I understand that. But in wrestling with God, we got to find a place to get alone. It takes commitment to separate from everything and devote ourselves to wrestling to God with prayer. But you cannot wrestle until you remove yourself from everything. Jesus many times would pray among the multitudes and pray with his disciples. But read through his life, there was many times he would get away from it all. He'd go up in the mountain or out into the wilderness. Get away from people, get away from the distractions, and pour out his heart to God and wrestle with the Heavenly Father. And this is needed in our lives, a labor in prayer. This is where that power is at, when we get alone from it all. The struggle of prayer begins with fighting our schedule to get alone with God. I truly believe in today's day and age, that's where our biggest struggle is in praying, is struggling our schedule. Getting away from it all. Just deciding that nothing is more important than my time with God. If we would be honest, we would admit the reason our prayer life is not what it would like to be is because of our schedule. Oh, I got to go. I got to fly here. I got to do this. I got to do that. The needs and expectations of life often keep us from coming to our Heavenly Father's throne and rob us from receiving the great blessings from Him. Notice this morning it was in the wee hours of the morning that Jacob got alone from it all. God's blessing on our families. God's blessing on our homes. God's blessing on us as individuals. God's blessing on our church. It's worth sacrificing some sleep or whatever else of value is in the way to get a hold of His throne and wrestle and have that blessing come down. You had that financial need. Are we wrestling this morning? Well, Pastor, I'm too busy for that. Then you're too busy. Hey, you got that lost loved one that you've been praying for? Are you spending time wrestling? I don't know if I could fit that in, Pastor. You don't know my schedule. Then you need to clear out your schedule. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Sometimes we're just too busy for God, and that's too busy. If we're too busy to take care of praying for that lost loved one, or that wayward child, or that health difficulty that's so near and dear to our heart, we become too busy in our life. Commitment to separate is necessary in this matter of wrestling with God. It was in the wee hours he decided, I'm willing to sacrifice sleep tonight. I need God's protection tomorrow. I need a blessing. I need something from God. It is certain that committed separation allows for wrestling with God. Now, let me say number three, it is certain that continual struggle is necessary in wrestling with God. Continual struggle. Wrestling with God is a continual struggle. It's an ongoing fight. It's something where I don't give up, I don't quit. After the first time I pray, remember, it's that prayer that continues, that brings forth the hand of God in our life. It's that struggle that continues. It's that fight that we don't give up. Verse 24, look at what is described here in Jacob's communication or supplication with God. It says, "In there," look at the word here, "and there wrestled a man with him." Now we have an every word Bible, amen? Every word is used for a reason. God didn't make a mistake when he put in the word wrestle. Why did he say he wrestled a man? I believe he physically wrestled, but as in Hosea, it talks about he wrestled through supplication and prayer as well. It's clear on that. What does that word wrestle mean? It means to strive. It means to struggle. It means to work. It means to labor. And that's exactly what he was doing. Have you ever watched wrestling before? I don't mean that phony stuff that you see on TV. That's a bunch of junk. But I mean like real wrestlers. The labor that goes into it. Just watching them, you get exhausted, let alone if you've ever wrestled before. I don't know if we've have anybody you wrestled in high school or college. But it's exhausting. You go around and you're about dead. I remember Skyler wrestled for a while. It's exhausting, isn't it? I read a little bit about wrestling. There was a professional wrestler, once again, not in that fake stuff, but a professional wrestler that said, train until you're exhausted, then start training. That's what you got to do. Because it's so much fatigue in it. The same is true with boxing. Maybe we have some boxers in here this morning. You ever put on that set of gloves? You watch those guys box, you think, yeah, that's easy, I can do that. Every year at teen camp, now some of you mothers might not send your boys to teen camp this year because of it, but every year at teen camp they have the boys box. Now it's at their own free will, don't worry. But they box, and they think, man, I'm going to get up there, I'm just going to nail the guy, and they get those gloves on. And they're two-minute rounds. Two-minute, that's nothing, right? Until you're getting hit in the face and you got to hold up your hands and you're throwing punches the whole time. And after about a minute, you watch the kids and they're like this. You know, they're hitting with their bodies instead of their gloves anymore. They're fatigued, they're tired because of the struggle, the exhaustion. Prayer is exhausting. Proper prayer is truly exhausting. I understand you might not be exhausted after God blesses food, but when we got a request that's near and dear to our heart, and we get into that prayer closet and wrestle with God, you can guarantee it's going to be exhausting. It's going to be tiring. There's going to be fatigue. Why? Because it's spiritual warfare. It's fighting. Look up Daniel. Look at what happened with Daniel's prayer and the spiritual forces that were in battle. You don't need to look there this morning, but sometime go home, read that story about the spiritual battle going on during David's prayer. And every time we pray, that's fellowship with God. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual fight. And there is a spiritual warfare going on. And it will be exhausting. Prayer is exhausting spiritually. Prayer is exhausting physically. Prayer is exhausting mentally. In the middle of that prayer time, if you've never been drained while praying, I don't know if you understand this concept. While you're praying, you get into praying and wrestling with God. It's a fatiguing thing. Jesus, while praying, as I mentioned a while ago, sweated great drops of blood. He was fatigued. He was struggling. When we're wrestling properly with God, it is toil and it's labor. We see here Jacob wrestled till daybreak. You read the story there. The Lord touched Jacob's the hollow of his thigh, pulled his hip out of joint. Painful. But he held on. He says, I'm not letting go. I'm going to continue to have that request before God. Jacob refused to let go. The stranger says, let me go. It's daybreak. And Jacob says, no, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. The Christian needs his perseverance in prayer. He needs perseverance in his supplication. We need to be persistent. We need to be determined. Not because we're better or greater than God, but because God wants to see that desire. He wants to see that fervent prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm not being proud or cocky by saying, God, I'm not giving up. I'm not letting go. I'm being fervent saying, God, I need this. Study out Scripture. It's a biblical principle there. He wants to see me struggle. He wants to see me toil and plead. He wants to hear our cry. We might not receive what we're looking for right away. You know, you might not. God, I prayed for a week. Where is it? I've talked to folks that'll say, I've been praying for years for this lost loved one or this situation. But we must continue to struggle through any difficulty. We must continue to hold on and continue to wrestle through the problems. Sometimes struggling may be long. Sometimes that wrestling match might endure for a while. We cannot prevail unless we prevail in God's strength. I'll wear out. I'll give up. I'll get tired. I'll get fatigued and quit. Oh, let me encourage you this morning in the struggle in prayer. We do have God's help in prayer. You say, but we're struggling with God in prayer. But God has given us help because He wants that struggle. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, speaking of prayer, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. As I'm praying, infirmities, look it up, weaknesses. God is praying for the weaknesses I have in prayer. He is strengthening me. As I pray and struggle with Him, He's giving me the strength to continue on to persevere, if I'll pray in His strength. The Holy Spirit gives us that strength for our weaknesses through prayer. Sometimes we might come away as Jacob did, with bones out of joint or broken. It might cost us something to have answered prayer. Many times in wrestling, God breaks us down, makes us weak. Why? So we can rely on His strength. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." I might get weak, but that's where His strength is seen, and I got to continue. Can I encourage you, Christian, this morning? If you have that need, wrestle. But then don't give up in wrestling. Don't quit. Don't quit the struggle and the toil. Through all that He continued and through all that we go through, we must continue in that wrestling match with the Lord. Don't give up wrestling, child of God. As we pray, there's several things that we'll wrestle. We will wrestle with sin. We must keep our life clean if God is going to answer that prayer. And we'll wrestle to keep that life clean and keep our life pure so God can bless our prayers. As we pray, we will wrestle with scattered thoughts. We'll wrestle to try to keep our thoughts captive under obedience to Christ. We'll try to keep focus. So many distractions going on. And things pop up in our mind. I got to do this today. I got to do that. Oh, but God, I need this. I must keep my focus, keep my attention on what I'm praying for. And it's a wrestling match against scattered thoughts. We'll wrestle against skepticism, doubting the effectiveness of our prayer. I've been praying for a while, God. You haven't prayed or answered prayer. Are you going to answer this? We'll wrestle with that skepticism. We'll wrestle with self, praying to consume things upon our own lust, praying for our own selfish gain. We ought not pray that way, the Bible tells us. We'll wrestle with the spirit world. We're taking on the devil and his kingdom in prayer. We'll wrestle. But don't give up. Don't quit. Wrestle. Struggle. Make that struggle. It is certain that a continual struggle is necessary in wrestling with God. And lastly, we'll be done this morning. It is certain that the chaste solution is rewarded in wrestling with God. Praise the Lord for this last one. We see in the life of Jacob, the chaste solution is rewarded when we wrestle with God. The one who wrestles with God has power with God. Power to receive what he's asking for. The Bible says the fervent prayer is the effectual prayer. When we pray and we wrestle with God, that's a prayer that God answers. Verse 26, look at it. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said, "What is thy name?" Look at this. He said, "Jacob." Now you say, what's the big deal? Jacob means deceiver. The meaning of Jacob's name is the whole reason Jacob is running for his life. He deceived his brother. And he's saying, "God, I'm in this situation. I need help. I need some protection." And he says, "Okay, give me your name. Admit your wrongs there. Jacob, I'm deceiver. That's me, God. I know." Verse 28. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." Give him a name right there. A name change. You're no longer the deceiver. You're the prince with God. You have power with God. He says, "For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Hey, you've won. Hey, we don't wrestle to lose. Amen. No wrestler gets in the wrestling match saying, "Hey, I hope to lose today." Nobody gets into anything hoping that they'll be defeated. And Jacob went in there wrestling to win. And when we go in that prayer closet, go in that prayer closet wrestling to win. Not because I'm stronger than God or mightier than God, but knowing God's promise here that when I go to Him and I have that fervent prayer, I can rest in the promise, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when I follow God's principles in prayer, I can go in there and wrestle to win. And that's what Jacob saw. He saw a win. He saw an answer to his prayer. Had Jacob not wrestled with God, he would not have had power with God. Had Jacob quit wrestling, he would not have power with God. He needed to stay after it. But Jacob persevered in his struggle with God. He persevered, and as a result, he was rewarded. From Jacob, the deceiver, to Israel, prince with God. Jacob received that blessing that he was looking for from the hand of God. That blessing he struggled for. Someone once said, "He who knows how to overcome with God in prayer has heaven and earth at his disposal." when we know how to wrestle with God, all the mighty power that we have through prayer. That's the power we need to tap into, Christian. That's the power that we lost in today's day and time because we're so connected with everything else. The blessing that costs us the most prayer will surely be worth the most. Christian, if you desire something from the hand of God, we have to understand it might have to wrestle for it. There might be some laboring. I might need to really make this a serious point in my life. James 5:16, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth, I like that last word there, much. Not a little bit. God doesn't say, okay, you fought a long time now, here's a little bit. God says, no, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He says, okay, I'll take care of it. What a good God that we have. What we receive from God is many times in proportion to how bad we really desire it and are willing to go to work in prayer over it. I remember a coach back in high school. During the tournaments that we were at, right before the game, he would look at us and he would say, how bad do you want it? Oh, we want it bad, coach. You really want it bad? Oh, we want it bad. We want to win. How bad do you want it? Hey, Christian, how bad do you want it? That need that you have in your life, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want that prayer answered? To what degree will you go through in struggling in order to have that blessing? Are you willing to struggle for it? Are you willing to labor for it? Are you willing to rest God for it? Are you willing to walk away with a limp maybe in order to receive what you want from God? We can prevail in prayer if we're willing to wrestle. First Colossians, we'll turn there, we'll be done. Look at this one scripture here, Colossians chapter 4. There's a lot of no-names in the Bible. What I mean by that is a lot of people, if you and I were to say their names today, they're found in the Bible, but we wouldn't know who they were. Epaphras, that ring a name with anybody? Anybody tell me what Epaphras did in his life? No, I don't think so. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Look at this man named Epaphras. We'll be done with his story and we'll close after that. Epaphras, verse number 12, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Look at what it says about Epaphras. Look at his testimony. It doesn't say a lot about him, but we know one thing about him. Always laboring. But not just laboring. Look at that word fervently. We see it again. Laboring fervent for you in what? In prayers. You know what this tells me? He was a Jacob. He caught on to this principle. Laboring fervently in prayers. He wrestled with God in prayer that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras was one of these children of God, one of these saints of God that was a prayer warrior. And he went to fight in prayer for the saints of God, for the people in his church. He lifted them up in prayer and fought and said, God, oh, help these needs. He was a prayer warrior in his church. Yes, a nobody that we would know of today, but a somebody in God's eyes. Because it's a matter of prayer. Something about Epaphras, if you study him out, he was shut up in prison for preaching the gospel of Christ. But they couldn't keep him from approaching the throne of God, that throne of grace. Regardless of how limited you are this morning, Christian, regardless of your age, regardless of your gender, regardless of your size, regardless of your health, there is something that you can do. Pastor, I'm up there in years. There's not a whole lot I can do. Wrong. There is something that you can do, and it's the most powerful thing that you can do. It's the most fruitful thing you could do, and that's pray. The Christian wars through prayer. Many call themselves soldiers, but few are actually fighting effectively because they haven't gotten this thing of prayer. In the Revolutionary War, on June 17, 1775, 2,200 British forces under the command of Major General William Howe and Brigadier General Robert Pigot landed on Charleston Peninsula and then marched to Breed's Hill, often known in association with Bunker Hill. Ammunition was limited for Colonel William Prescott and his 1,000 militiamen at the top of Breed's Hill, the American colonials. As the British advanced in columns against the Americans, Prescott, in order to conserve the ammunition that they had, told the men, he says, hold your fire until you see the whites of their eyes. It wasn't until they were but yards from the men that he yelled, fire. And all those men fired on the hill, causing the British to have a retreat. Well, the British reformed the lines there and they went back up the hill, charging the men once again. Once again, the colonel made the command. He says, do not shoot until you see the whites of their eyes. And they held it, and he yelled fire. They fired again, caused another retreat. Now they were low on ammunition. All they had left is their rifles and bayonets. He called for them to arm their bayonets. I appreciate the courage that these men had for our country. They armed their bayonets. They waited for the men to come at them. And he yelled charge, and they charged down the hill. Twice the number of casualties on the British than the American. That's what gave them the confidence to keep going in the war for independence. Low on ammunition, not a whole lot of resources. But what they had, they used to the best of their ability. Christian, our resource this morning is prayer. Look at Ephesians 6. Look at the warfare that we face. And he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Hey, we need to use this resource to the best of our ability. We must not treat it like it's some trivial thing, this matter of prayer. Oh, it's a great thing, and it's what's going to cause the fight to be won in our lives. Are we using this resource to the best of our advantage? We need more Epaphrases this morning. We need that common Christian to step up in prayer and to fight that fight in wrestling with God in prayer. I ask us this morning, is our prayer life what it ought to be? Maybe this morning your schedule's keeping you from wrestling with God. Maybe this morning we need to cut out some things in our schedule so that we can have that time alone with God. We need to determine that God's blessing in our family or in our home and our life and our church is more important than anything else in this world. Do you have that persistence in wrestling? Maybe there's that need this morning. You've given up hope. You've allowed skepticism to creep in. Can I say this morning, continue on. Continue on that struggle. Don't give up in prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't have Christ. The first prayer of any of us that will be answered is that prayer of salvation. You cannot have that power with God until you first accept Christ as your Savior. It's not through our good works. It's not through baptism. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The battle starts right there with accepting Christ as your Savior. That poor, rich, young, old, healthy, sick, every Christian can wrestle with God. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. By way of invitation,